Blog Talk Radio.
Hey, this is Dan Marino.
Hi, this is Larry Zonka.
Hi, I'm Zach Thomas of the Miami Dolphins.
This is Mark Super Duper.
I'm John Offerdahl.
This is Paul Warfield.
Hi, this is Nick Bonacani.
This is Jake Scott.
Gary Apremian.
Dick Anderson.
Larry Little.
Mercury Morris.
Tom Vigorito.
This is Don Strachan.
Don Nottingham.
Hey, this is A.J. Dewey.
Otto Stowe.
Mike Colon. Doug Kruzan for the 1972 undefeated Miami Dolphins.
This is Marlon the Magician, Briscoe.
This is Mark Ingram.
And Jim Crash Jensen.
This is Don Shula, and I listen to the Pat Cotello Show.
It's the Miami Dolphins Legend Show with Pat Cotello. Join us now as we talk Dolphins football or call in live with your questions or comments. And now, here's your host, Pat Cotello.
All right. Good evening, everybody. Welcome to another edition of the Miami Dolphins Legend Show. A pretty special edition as the Miami Dolphins travel up north and dismantle Washington by the score of 45-15. And so they bring their record to 9-3 and thus allowing us to say the number one seed, Miami Dolphins. And that's something that we have not had in a long time at this period of time in the season. So there's an awful lot to be excited about, and there's an awful lot that we will be talking about, and we'll try to jam it all into the show tonight. But needless to say, an absolutely huge day up in Washington as the Miami Dolphins offense just explodes with big plays throughout. A crowd that I think had more Dolphin fans there than the home team. And so, it was obviously an exciting day of football for Dolphin fans. So let's go through the stat line as always. Tua, 18 for 24, had 280 yards, had the two touchdowns, no interceptions. Your leading rusher on the day was Devon Achane, who's back. 17 for 73, and he had two touchdowns. Behind him was Mostert, 11 for 43, and he also had a touchdown. So that part of the offense was solid and starting to get back into form. Receiving-wise, of course, Tyreek Hill, monster day. Leading receiver, 5 catches, 157 yards, 2 touchdowns. And out of those 2 touchdowns, of course, you had the big plays, 1 for 78 and 1 for 60 yards. So we will talk an awful lot about him as it was a record-setting day for him as well. Behind him was Waddle, 5 for 52. We should mention, of course, Achane also had 3 for 30 in the receiving category, so put that on there. The big defensive plays continue as Van Ginkel has a pick six interception, which was also an exciting one. So there was that. Sack-wise, across the board, Ogbo with one, Sealer with 1.5, and Chubb with 0.5. Of course, we never come out of this scot-free. Jerome Baker did go down with a knee injury. We do have some reports on that, which we will discuss. The last that I had heard, he had tweeted that he will be back sooner than we all think. So that was obviously a very optimistic sign. MRI scheduled for today. Rich may have some updated information on that in a few minutes. And then, of course, as I said, we are the number one seed with the loss last night by the Chiefs, and so right now the Dolphins control their own destiny. We go to the Washington side of the ball. Sam Howell, 12 for 23, 127 yards. He had an interception. Their leading rusher was Brian Robinson, 7 for 53, and their leading receiver, Curtis Samuel, 4 for 65. So obviously the Dolphins' defense did more than their job to solidify this route, and we talked about Tyreek Hill. For those keeping track, the cheetah tracker is now 519 yards to go. And he is on pace for 2,098 yards And as we speak right now, 93 receptions, 1,481, and 12 TDs. He's also on pace for 17 TDs. So that's that. I'm winded. It was a gigantic victory, Rich. I said the only down spot, Jerome Baker. But, you know, on a whole, you know, it seems like they could have kept the pedal to the metal and even put more up. So, that's what I got, my friend.
Yeah, Baker is week to week. It's not as bad as they thought. There's no damage, which, looking at that thing, it looked like he was done for the year, you know. So that was good news today.
Didn't look pretty, that's for sure.
No. No, so we dodged a bullet with that one. I can't remember the last time that's ever happened, you know?
Yeah.
No, everything's in our pull court now. I mean, you know, yeah, when was the last time we've been the number one seed in December? Wow, right?
Yeah, it's been a long time.
25 years, 30 years ago,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah, absolutely, time. Back in the early 90s, yep. Absolutely.
Yeah.
So, uncharted territory. You know, one of the things we'll say, listen, they certainly take care of business on inferior teams, which is the sign of a good team. You know, the knock is that they haven't beaten really good teams. Doesn't mean they can't. Just means they haven't, games when they have. Obviously, this team's getting better. That'll be the knock on them, and it won't be taken off until basically they, you know, I guess go into the playoffs and see where this all lands. But they certainly have been doing what they need to do during this soft part of the schedule that me and you talked about, which obviously could be, I mean, we went into this, you know, in the last 4 weeks, and basically said, you know, they have a chance here to be 5-0, right? With the Raiders, Jets, Commanders, Titans, and then Jets again. So you're pretty much, you know, have more than halfway there, and they have not really sputtered. We'll see what they do moving on. With the Monday night game and then, you know, Jets again, which will basically put them in more than secure position in the AFC if they can take care of business there.
You know, we look, no game is easy in this league, you know that. I mean, you know, you see weird upsets every week, but you know, the next two games are very winnable, you know, and it, you know, the last three are tough. You know, that's the way it is, really. There's five left, and two are winnable, and three are, you know, are you know, definitely tough matchups, you know. But, you know,
yeah.
We should be okay.
Yeah,
you know?
Without a doubt. Yeah, without a doubt.
I mean, basically, you know, we have a three-game lead in the division now, which with five to go, which is pretty good. You know, you never expected that.
Listen, it's more than pretty good. I mean, me and you have talked about it, and you would need a monumental – you would need a collapse of monumental proportions for something like that to happen, similar to, you know, 1993 collapse, which, of course, was missing Marino, you know, which basically spells out everything you need to know there. But, you know, so, yeah, I mean, you are as good shape as you could possibly be going into there. I mentioned before earlier record-breaking day for Tyreek Hill. I want to talk a little bit about that, of what exactly he did. First off, we all know he looks to become the first NFL receiver in history with 2,000 yards. He's on pace to do that, and he continued that without a doubt on Sunday. What he did was he became the top receiver now with the most games with 150 yards and a touchdown catch in a single season. He has five now. That's the all-time record. And it was a five-way tie for four, which kind of brings that in perspective a little bit, because you might say, oh, what is that? You know, but when you look at the fact that there were five guys tied for the record at four, you know, it really shows that it is something, you know, because now he breaks that tie. And these players that are on there are nothing to sneeze at. I mean, you have Lance Allworth, Ben Hawkins from the Eagles, Don Maynard, who was actually listed as a Giant, Roy Green from the Cardinals, and Victor Cruz from the Giants. So, you know, this was a very special thing that he did there, and I'm sure he'll continue. And then he also – rewrote the Dolphins' single-season record book on Sunday. He now has 8 games in which he's over 100 yards this season, and that ties the Miami Dolphins' single-season record set by Mark Duper in 1986. So he has 5 remaining games, obviously, to take sole possession of that record as well. So it was a very special day for him, and he looked like he were, you know, they could have kept going with that. I think he could have put up another 100 if they really wanted him to. But obviously McDaniel and company kind of eased off a little bit there and, you know, went into a much more conservative role.
If they brought Duper Clayton back, I think they could have added to the touchdown total.
Oh, I think so, too. I think so, too.
They could have got three.
You know, while we're speaking of this, you know, I've been complaining about this for the last few weeks, and I was complaining to you on Sunday. You know, now that they start to talk about all the MVP votes and candidates and who will win, and they had, you know, on all the shows and everything, they've talked about their leaders to win that and their predictions, and I was just really shocked on it because Dak Prescott and Jalen Hurts obviously got, you know, they got majority of the people's votes as the MVP. Mahomes also got some of them. And, you know, there was one mention out of everything I saw with Tua, and not even a sniff or a mention of Tyreek Hill, who, in my opinion,
well, I saw the Vegas odds today, and Hill was 10, Tua was 8 on that list.
Which, I to me, is absolutely ridiculous because, to me, Tyreek Hill is the clear-cut MVP of this league right now. And why I'm bringing this up is because last night they also had a thing where they made an argument for Christian McCaffrey. And get this is the argument. Now, we know that this MVP position has always been predominantly a quarterback or position award. However,
pretty much so.
However,
except when Marino was up.
Let me say what they said. However, if there's one player who is absolutely the best in a non-quarterback role, it's Christian McCaffrey. And I said, I don't understand this. Hasn't anybody even seen what this guy is doing in the wide receiver position? It makes no sense to me, and I'm not putting down McCaffrey or anybody else.
No, McCaffrey's a great player, but he's not having as good a year as Tyreek Hill.
Nobody is having it.
No, he's not having an impact like that. They have you know who's number one right now? Brock Purdy.
Yeah, I have Purdy, too, they were just talking about, yeah, Purdy, too.
Yeah.
But, you know, I mean, they're all having great years, but I don't know. To me, what this guy is doing, I don't understand how anybody does not have him.
And they got him 10th, that.
That's insane. It's insane.
I mean, I totally agree with you.
The bias part of it is just, I don't know. And I think part of it is that they refuse to give Tua any of respect. They won't give him any respect. And by giving Hill that, they're going to have to acknowledge it.
I heard some idiot talk about, you know, Tua's one hit away from, you know, being out of the league still. I heard that again today.
Yeah, you're going to hear that. I've said it to you. You're never going to get over that. Isn't
everybody one hit away? Really?
No.
It's,
no.
You know, right?
They're not. No. I mean, yes and no. I mean, no. We know what's there. And we know what's going
to
come up.
It doesn't
what's
have
that?
To be a concussion, though. Everybody's one hit at one play away.
Of course.
Away.
I mean, technically, everybody's a Joe Theismann.
Yeah.
Everybody's a Joe Theismann. But that's not really what that's not what they're saying. And you know that's not what they're saying.
I know that.
So,
like I said, if 2 concussions were the protocol to be out of this league, the league would be very empty.
Yeah, but we're not going to rehash this again. We've done it, you know, ad infinitum. But it wasn't just 2, you know, and it was as close as they were, and it was really 3, and it was how close they were and the way he reacted and all that stuff.
I
so, you know, it is what it is. But right now, you know, I don't even like to, like, bring it up. You brought it up, so we'll talk about it. But, that's something that's not going away, Rich. It's not going away.
Yeah.
Not anytime soon. It's not going away. So let's just hope that we don't have to deal with it, and we just continue to do, you know, what we're basically doing, and that is, you know, just kind of dominating games. And, you know, I mean, we've had our fair share of injuries, of course. Jalen Phillips was a bad one that happened, you know, a week ago, and then, you know, we seem to have dodged the bullet with Baker. Armstead, again, we have, you know, another injury there. I don't know if that's just precautionary because of the blowout. We'll see. There's been some issues there anyway, with keeping them healthy and on the field. So we'll just have to wait and see. I mean, I don't know if you've heard anything else on that.
Nope, not at all.
Yeah, I mean, I'm thinking that it's, you know, a little bit of both, but more towards the precautionary part of it. Yeah, I mean, I should mention, I guess, Achan too, right? You finally get him back. So we've had injuries. It's just a matter of,
Phillips last week, you know.
Except for Phillips and you got Ramsey back from an early injury.
Just, enough or nothing. I mean, to have the luxury of having Agba as a backup that was basically buried for the last year and a half is a godsend, you know. But who has somebody like that ready to go, you know? He had a sack yesterday, you know.
Yeah, I mean, they have some depth. He's been playing, though. It's not like he hasn't played. They do rotate. He
but
has
not much,
played.
Though. You know, he wasn't really in there that much, and his role was a lot different, too, you know.
No, his role was a lot different because he was, you know. But of course, having, you know, they do have depth there, you know, and the defense is playing sharp. So, yeah, I mean, they're in good shape right now to continue it on.
Our Monday night game next week, there's the two of them at the same time?
Yeah, they have, I know. It's so amazing, too, how they do this. But so you got Green Bay and the New York Giants now are scheduled in that. Yeah, I don't know. Of course, it's got to be the week that we play that this is going to be, you know, a zoo, you know, and of course a New York team doing it.
I just don't understand. I don't understand it. I don't get it. Like, what's the point of that, to have them on at the exact same time? Does it make any sense?
Also, should be noted, the week after that, for the first flex in the history of Monday Night Football, the New England Patriots, I'm sure you know, have been booted. So they are not
right.
going to televise the Patriots-Kansas City Chiefs game. They are out. And
Jacksonville and somebody, right? I think they went to Jacksonville and something. Something like that.
I forget the team that was going in there. I didn't think it was Jacksonville, but maybe you're right. And so that's going to be, you know, swapped out of there. And, you know, I know. So it's crazy. But I guess, you know, they've had two before, but, you know, late in the year, it's a weird thing. And I don't know why, you know, they kind of are doing that. It's very strange. And that's another game you might want to flex out of there, right? But it, I don't know. It is kind of strange, though.
I'll make it a flex, you know?
Yeah, it's weird, though. All right, we'll take a quick break. Got a lot to talk about, and we'll be back right after this.
When the autumn mist is drawing near, and you hear the whistle sound and the crowd cheer, you'll know it's that special time once again for head-to-head combat and first and 10. So follow those that are in the know and listen to Pat and Rich and the Legends Show. All episodes of the Pat Catello Show available now on iTunes.
This is Don Shula. Happy to be on the Pat Catello Show.
You're listening to the Miami Dolphins Legends Show with Pat Catello. sponsored by Don Nottingham Associates Insurance. Don Nottingham formed Don Nottingham Associates Insurance in 1975 while playing for the Miami Dolphins. He recognized the need to prepare for life after football. For all your insurance needs, call 352-307-6736 or visit online at donnottinghamins.com. Now, back to the Miami Dolphins Legend Show with your host, Pat Cotello.
Okay, welcome back, Miami Dolphins Legends Show. You got Pat and Rich coming at you. We'll take you up to the Monday night football game tonight, which is the Bengals at the 8-3 Jaguars. So obviously you can do the math on that, my friends, and know where the implications lie in that game. You can check us right out on iTunes and get us subscribed, delivered right onto your phone, and send us any questions or comments, patcotelloshow@yahoo.com. And as Rich was saying earlier with the flex schedule on Monday night, the New England Patriots bumped out. Also to note, we have the Cheetah Tracker. We also have the Belichick Tracker. And for those listening at home, he still remains 17 wins away from Don Shula. However, he is now 5 losses away from becoming the all-time losingest coach in professional football history. And, you know, Rich, I think if my calculations are right, there is a slim opportunity that he can break that this year, because I think they have 5 games left in the season. So there is that.
Oh, that would be funny, you know?
And 6-0. I mean, 6-0 they lost to the Chargers. So, I mean, it must be abysmal up there. It really must. I mean, you've heard all the reports and the infighting and the reporters. And I've noticed in press conferences.
You draft this kid, you know, 3 years ago from Alabama, and, you know, you think he's the next coming. And then you bench him for a guy named Zappy. I mean, you know, it's one thing if you think you have somebody in there. But when you make a move like that, you can't bring him back unless you're the Jets. You're in that today, right?
Yeah. No, I haven't. What?
They wanted Zach Wilson to start again, and he said no.
Oh, I didn't hear that. No, I didn't hear that. That's so jet-like.
He doesn't feel comfortable. He doesn't feel comfortable with starting. Like, you feel comfortable about getting paid?
That's so jet-like. That's just insane.
Oh, yeah.
They want to go back to that, huh? That's ridiculous. I don't understand.
I mean, how can you do that? You can't do that stuff, man. You know?
Yeah, they do it. They do it. I mean, as far as the Belichick thing goes, I mean, Mac Jones, I think he is handling it ridiculous without naming a starter. Obviously, Mac Jones has been just struggling, you know, like crazy. So it's not like, you know, that move wasn't inevitable. They just, yeah, you're right. I mean,
they're trying to blame it on Jim O'Brien, your buddy.
Yeah, well, I'll tell you, anybody who thought, you know, that this guy was the offensive guru of the future, I guess, you know, any semblance of that is long out the window, isn't it?
They sucked this guy into Matt Patricia last year and ruined his career, and then they
Matt Patricia is looking like Don Coryell right now. How about that?
We had an ex-quarterback record broken yesterday in the NFL. One of our ex-quarterbacks had a record broken. Did you hear that one?
No, tell me.
Don Strock is no longer the oldest quarterback in Cleveland Brown history to throw a touchdown pass. It's now...
Oh, yeah, Flacco did. I know, yeah.
So
I didn't know Strock was, though. Strock was the oldest,
Strock
huh?
Was, yeah, 38 years old, yeah. Yep.
How old was Testaverde?
I don't know. Did he play
right?
That?
Yeah, I thought he went. Yeah, when he was like 108. Actually,
yeah,
he had some doozies go back there.
Never threw a touchdown. Yeah, I guess not. I guess he never threw a touchdown.
No, he must
know?
Not have. If Strock had the record,
yeah.
At which doesn't seem that old to me, right? That's kind of. I guess it's a modern era thing.
Yeah, it's a modern era. You know what the funny part is? It was a USA Today article, and I'm reading it, and I'm like, "Who's Don Strock?" I'm like, "It's Strock, you moron." They spelled it wrong.
Stroker
Don
gets a mention. We'll have to let him know that. That's great.
100%.
That's great. That's awesome. So there you go. Yeah, I mean, how about I seen Flacco come in there, and I seen him throw that touchdown pass, and I was like, you got to be kidding me. That's crazy.
He's
I'll tell you what.
A week ago.
The Jets probably should have made the call there. They should have probably went that way.
I mean, come on, Trevor Siemian. I mean, give me a break. The Tim Boyle error was even shorter than I could imagine.
Is that over now?
They want to go back to Zach Wilson.
I know, but you said you don't want to. I mean, what's going on here? Is he starting next week, Zach Wilson?
I think Trevor Siemian is the next one up. Yeah, I don't think Tim Boyle's an option. I think it's Trevor Siemian.
Is that right?
They said they want to talk him into it, Zach Wilson.
Talk him into it. Talk him into it. Here's how I'm going to talk him into it.
I got to wait.
You're starting Sunday.
You'll get a check if you don't play. Right?
You can't refuse
not to play, right?
How can you?
Yeah, there's got to be repercussions, right?
It's a holdout, I guess. It's like a breach of contract. I don't know. I never heard of it. I never heard of anything like that. A healthy guy refusing to play. I don't know. It's strange. But I wouldn't put anything past the Jets.
You know, it's great, though. Like, here's Zach Wilson, right? I know. They treated him like crap. We all know the story. But he hasn't played well. But some idiot team would give him a shot next year as a backup or something.
Oh, yeah.
If this report is true that he really refused to play, he's finished. No one's going to go near him.
I don't know about that. No, I don't think so. I think the Jets know. I think people know the Jets are a laughing stock organization. I don't think it affects his free agency as a backup quarterback at all. At all. I think anybody, you know, that's going to go after him in the role that they will, I don't think this affects them. I really don't. I think everybody knows what goes on inside that jet locker room. It's just
I don't think we have a clue, dude. I think what we think we know, we all know.
yeah. It's probably worse than we are. Absolutely. And with the whole Aaron Rodgers fiasco circus that's going on right now. It's just crazy. It really is. I almost want them to win. What?
Yeah, I know. I was going to say the same thing. You're rooting for them to win a little bit. So
yeah, I always want them to win out. I want them to win out to see them have to try to come back in Week 17 to make the playoffs. I almost want to call this bluff. I really do. I would love to see it.
So stupid.
Oh, man.
And, imagine this idiot, tries to come – like, if the Jets really put all their eggs in one basket next year with this guy, I mean, isn't that, a part of being insane? to really go into next year the same thing he did this year? He's a year older coming off a catastrophic injury. So if that's, your only – if that's your only savior, right there, I mean, right?
Well,
and that's what they're going to do. They're going to do the same thing they did again.
Well, they may upgrade their backup position, but who do you think they're going to bring in? I mean, really, who do you think they're going to get? I mean, they're not going to get any, who's out there anyway? Who are they going to get? Matt Jones? That's probably somebody like that.
Go ahead.
that's what they're
going to
do, right?
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know who else they would get. They're obviously not going to get another starting quarterback. I think Baker Mayfield's played well enough that he solidified himself. So I don't know. I mean, I guess there's certain guys that are on the cusp, but I don't know. Not too many.
No, it's not a pretty situation. It's comical. You got to give it that, you know?
Oh, it certainly is. It certainly is. It's nothing if not entertaining. That's for sure. And it's going to continue. We haven't seen the last of this circus. It's going to continue.
No.
And of course, we play this team in a few weeks. So, very curious to see who's going to be the starting quarterback then. I really am.
Yeah. Like I said, you can't make it up. There's no question about that. You know?
No. Ridiculous. So, when you look around the league, and the quarterback situation from team to team to team, tonight is obviously a very strong example of that. The luster of this game with Joe Burrow's being out is just completely taken away. I'm not sure who their backup quarterback is. You may know. I see him with the sling and cast on. And it just deflates this game. Obviously, the Jacksonville Jaguars are, one of the top teams in AFC and one of the teams that we're in direct competition with. But my point is that this was a game that really lost its luster. And that's the reason why they have these rules. I know you bitch about them for a long time, you have, but I understand them only because of what it does when these guys go down for the season. It really takes away so much of it. You have Burrows, you have Rodgers, you have Kirk Cousins. There's been so many this year, And when you lose those starting quarterbacks in a league that's so quarterback-driven now that we just talked about the backups, and we couldn't even really name any legitimate starters.
Well, I got
you.
But keep in mind, no rule was going to stop any of those injuries.
Not the Achilles ones. No, they're not. But I'm saying, in the past, there's been, the Brady rule, which hitting low and stuff, that has definitely saved some injuries. There's no doubt about that. And hitting late into the pocket, after throws, that has definitely saved some injuries as well. So even though it has, it made the game a little bit different. There's a few words I could use, but I won't. I think it is important in that aspect, and that's why I don't mind them as much as you did, because it is a different game now. It just is. And taking those guys out from behind center changes everything. It really does.
Yeah, no, I got you. I know what you're saying, but, you know, they went a little bit too far with some of them, you know? You know, like the hands to the helmet thing, like, you know, when this guy slaps him upside the helmet, like hitting somebody in the helmet is really going to give you a concussion? I mean, come on. You know, with an open hand, the only thing is you're going to break your hand. You know, some of the stuff's stupid. You know, I understand the face mask, you know, that's understandable, and I understand, like, the going low, but I think the hands to the helmet is silly. And, you know, look at last night, where, you know, with that penalty they called on Green Bay when they hit Mahomes on the sidelines.
Yeah.
He was clearly unbalanced, and they threw 50 yards, almost gave him the game, you know?
Yeah, there's no doubt about it, but I got to be honest with you, and I was going to save this for the next segment. As usual, you're out of the gate early, but you can't even talk about calls. What's that?
You can't even talk about that.
I mean, I'm happy. We got the number one seed. They lost. That's one of the most egregious penalties I've ever seen not called.
But
that was absolutely
a
game
call.
I don't see how you can call out a makeup call. That cost them the game. I mean, he tackled the guy. He tackled him before the ball even came. They would have been first and goal. It changed everything.
Those refs would have made it. They wouldn't have made it out of Lambeau if they called that penalty. I think that's what they were afraid of.
I mean, that's what's ruining it, though. That really is, because you look at it like that. I look at it that could easily be us. I could see Tyreek Hill getting tackled like that with no call. And you can't have that. You just can't have that. Not when it's that clean cut egregious. I've never seen anything like that. People talk about that Saints call. You've been complaining about that for 5 years. This was the worst I've ever seen.
It's bad.
So, I mean, I don't know. This league, it seems like it's always crunch time that this starts to happen. And they got to get it together. They got to get it together. Because they play a game, you know, for 58 minutes, you know, that solid officiating, and then to have it all unravel within the last 2 minutes is just ridiculous. And like I said, you know, you look at it like, benefited us, so, you know, that's great. I always look at it the other way, that, you know, this could easily have been us.
I understand what you're saying.
And we're an offensive team.
The call, the call that set them up for that play was ridiculous.
Not the same thing, though. Not the same thing. It's a 15-yard penalty after he got a first down. So it's not the same thing. He ran for a first down. You got 15 yards that he shouldn't have gotten. Absolutely was not. He hit him in bounds. It absolutely should not have been another 15 yards.
That's the same thing. Wouldn't that gone back 50? That would have gone back to the original line of scrimmage. Really, wouldn't have?
What would have? Why would the Kansas City Chiefs get penalized? It was late hit.
Yeah, you're right. So it would just have been the first down there. Yeah, you gotcha. Yeah.
And it was a bad call. It was a bad call. I agree with you. I mean, and I'm not even talking. They're all bitching about the Hail Mary on Kelsey. That was the one after that. And I'm not even going there.
But they, they never give you that call, ever.
No, you're not going to get that call. You don't get that on Hail Marys unless it's like, you know, you just don't get that call. So I don't even bring that up. But, yeah, but the tackle, the one before that was just, that was insane. It really was. But, you know, whatever. It is what it is. The Miami Dolphins are the number one seed because of it, and we'll take it. And we're also going to take our last break, and we'll be right back after this. Don't go nowhere.
This is Paul Warfield, and you are listening to The Pat Catello Show.
You're listening to the Miami Dolphins Legend Show with Pat Catello, sponsored by Don Nottingham Associates Insurance. Don Nottingham formed Don Nottingham Associates Insurance in 1975 while playing for the Miami Dolphins. He recognized the need to prepare for life after football. For all your insurance needs, call 352-307-6736 or visit online at donnottinghamins.com. Now, back to the Miami Dolphins Legend Show with your host, Pat Catello.
Okay, welcome back. Miami Dolphins Legend Show. Final stretch run. Pat and the Amazing Rich coming at you as we go around the league. Rich, I'm thinking of a number between 1 and 5 and a primary color. Go.
2 and red.
Yeah, that's it. You got it. You hit it on the nose.
There you go.
Kreskin's got nothing on you, my friend.
That's it.
All right. All right. So, you know, looking around the league, I don't know if you heard this today. Obviously, you don't really keep too much track on this, but the Buffalo Bills fan base is up in arms because of they're saying the Dolphins have the easiest schedule in football. Did you see this now? This is their latest complaint.
Yeah. How about don't be 500, and then you don't have nothing to complain about.
Yeah, I know. Which, I went through it. Yeah, there's three different games. You basically get those three different games, you know. And out of those, we got the Carolina match.
Bargain. You know, our last three games aren't easy. You know, it's, you know, the easiest game is Buffalo, but it's Dallas, the Ravens, and Buffalo. You know, how's that easy?
Well, what it comes down to is you play your division twice. Everybody plays their division twice, so that's a wash. And then you play another division, each team. And then there's basically three games that are changed to differentiate between your schedule and where you finished last year. And, you know, that's how it basically goes. And one of those toss-up games for us was the Panthers, you know. So we got that, and, you know, and then you, I guess, do the math the way it turned out with Denver and, you know, and I guess Tennessee, I think, is the other one. So, you know, but you don't know how it's going to turn out. And obviously they had to play Cincinnati, and they, you know, that was a big Monday night game for them or whatnot. But, yeah, I mean, I'm just telling you what they're saying. I ain't agreeing with it. I'm just letting you know.
Well, you know, it's not our fault that your dynasty ended before it started, okay?
Yeah, that's true. Well, we said last year this team was temperamental. They're temperamental and emotional, and one step away from getting punched in the face and knocked out. And, I mean, I don't know. Like you said, the dynasty might end before it begins. There's a good shot of that, so we'll see. Yeah, it certainly does look that way. Now, looking ahead.
I'm so broken up about it. And you know me, I'm so broken up about it.
Yeah, oh, I know. I know. You have no love lost there. That's for sure.
No, can't stand them.
I know. Now.
Have another shot at the bowling ball.
Now, we have the Tennessee Titans, of course, Monday night. Not the same Tennessee Titans, but a little different version of some of the teams we've been playing, obviously. They can be physical at times. Derrick Henry's certainly not Derrick Henry of old, but he certainly shows flashes of Derrick Henry. And then, you know, you have a very well-coached team with Mike Vrabel. I'll say that. So, you know, it'll be a little bit of a different test. You know, obviously nobody's going to give you any awards if you come out of there with a victory. But nonetheless, like you said, there's no easy victories in this league. And you've seen that. I mean, the Jets beat the Chiefs, Eagles. You know, there's no easy victories here. So, you know, it can, you know, you have to show up, and that's the one thing that this Dolphin team has done better than any other team in the NFL. They've beaten the inferior teams, and they've beaten them solidly. There's really no upset on the belt of the Dolphins this year. There really isn't. I mean, the teams that they've lost to are three of the best teams in football. You know, taking Buffalo aside, but when we played Buffalo, they were not in this position. So, I mean, I people bring that as a negative. I look at that as somewhat of a positive. And, you know, I mean, we'll see. We'll see how everything shakes out. It's still extremely early, obviously. But, you know, it's something to be cognizant of and keep an eye on. I don't know how you feel about it, but, you know, this is a a solid team.
And look, we got to take care of the next 2 weeks. You know, beat the inferior teams, and then, you know, then we'll see what we got against Dallas. We're going to play a very good team at home, and let's see if we can keep it rolling with that. And then it's two games to the finish line after that. You know, so we'll see. I mean, like I said, I'm liking what I'm seeing because, like, you know, the defense is getting better every week, I believe. I still believe that. And, you know, and that's what I was hoping for because it started off slow. You know, we saw some bad signs in the beginning. But I said, you know, maybe they just don't know the system yet with Fangio. And, you know, he's doing a good job. He's getting them better every week. And, you know, we have a dynamic offense right now. I mean, we have more speed than anybody else. You know, we're in very good shape. And like I said, it would be really nice to hit the stride, you know, in late December, early January, and make a run at this thing. You know,
this defense is
it's wide open this year, man. There's no dominant great team out there, especially in the AFC.
There's some really good ones. Yeah, there's some really good ones in the NFC, but remains to be seen. There are some really good ones in the NFC. AFC looks
You got three, really. You got Dallas, Philly, and the San Francisco.
Yeah.
I mean, which are
three really. They're three really good teams. Better than, I would say, in the AFC that you have. The Dolphin defense has been playing fantastic for four straight weeks now.
Yep.
They've played fantastic. Yep. And so they have been injured a little bit. You know, we'll see how you respond to that. Like you said, you get a little bit of depth with Agba coming in there. And, you know, that you won't really know until you have to know on something like that because these are crunch time plays that are going to have to be made, right? One of the great things about the Dolphin defense is their ability to dominate fourth quarter, end of the game with their pass rush and stuff, and the number one guy doing that was Jalen Phillips. So there's big shoes that are going to need to be filled there by Agba, but you will not know until late in games in big, crucial games. So we have some ways to go on that. I'm not sure who the starting quarterback is with the Tennessee Titans. I would assume it's, you know, we've seen Tannehill come in to hold when the holder punter got hurt. And I think that was just, we weren't watching per se, but I still think that you got that the new quarterback in there, right?
Yeah. Yep. He's the new, you know, they benched Tannehill for the year, you know. And
yeah.
You know, there was talk about him getting traded at the deadline.
Yeah. So, you know, that's something we'll just have to see. I mean, this is a game on paper that, you know, you got to feel pretty good about. And you know, just keep doing what you're doing, I guess, right? Everything.
Yeah, Will Lewis is the quarterback.
Will Lewis?
Yeah.
Can't really say I know much about Will Lewis. But, you know,
he had
obviously
a very good first game, and he's kind of regressed since. He's not played, you know, up. They thought they had something originally, but it doesn't look like it's, you know, he's going through growing pains already. So,
yeah,
that's your Will Lewis story.
And one thing did come out of the Jerome Baker injury that I would be remiss not to mention, and that is, you know where I'm going, we got a Channing Tindall sighting for the first time. I have a Channing Tindall sighting. I've seen him make a play.
In 2 years, there was more sightings of Bigfoot than
Loch Ness. Yeah. Yeah. You're right. You're right. I thought it was a mirage. I couldn't believe it. I had to do a double take, but I saw him. He was there. And
you think
I don't
know what he knew where his helmet was?
I think there was definitely a little bit of hesitation when the call was made. But yep. So, you know, a lot of people were saying that Duke Riley goes in that spot, but, you know, Channing Tindall is actually listed on the roster now behind Baker. So he got his spot. He went in, and, you know, week to week, but I wouldn't expect Baker this Sunday. So who knows? Maybe this could be a breakout party, and me and you will be eating crow for a long time when Channing Tindall races the Raptors.
I hope so. You know,
I hope so, too. Cream will rise. The cream will rise to the top. And you, my friend, will be made to make a public apology. So, yeah, there you go.
Damn thing about Channing Tindall, except I don't know where he is.
I've said plenty, so I'll man up and I'll speak where I am, because I have certainly been very critical of him, even though we both know you have too. But I'll let you off the hook with this one. She got plenty of other ones that I don't have to worry about. That'll keep you preoccupied for a while if they ever come to collect. You've got a long list, my friend. A long list. So, yep, that's what I got. I think.
How about the Philadelphia game last night with the security guard becoming part of the game? is that some nonsense?
Yeah, I'm glad you brought that up because I have a couple feelings on this, and as funny as it is, I mean, I look at it that, you know, it seems a little ridiculous to me that a security guard gets in a fight with a player, and the player gets ejected. It's a little bit
really. So the security guard got ejected too. I never seen such nonsense in my life.
It's ridiculous.
What are you doing? First of all, he should be fired and never be on the field again.
Yeah.
Okay.
Sure.
That should be the end. I mean, and, oh, we love Big Dom. Well, Big Dom's a jackass, okay? Because Big Dom should never be the other team's player. Never mind touch him, you know? And, you know, enough of it. Big Dom would have been on Big Dom's big butt if that guy did anything cool. You know what I mean? Big Dom. You know, if he ran three steps, he'd have a massive heart attack. I mean, come on. Big Dom.
You know the Godfather scene on Christmas when they're walking in Times Square and Michael sees the paper and he reads it up? I can see it right now. Rich calls Big Dom a jackass on the cover of the paper.
The last time Big Dom stressed himself, he was on line at Pat's Cheesesteaks too long. He almost had a heart attack before he
got to the park. Oh, my goodness. Yeah. But by that rationale, I could make a security guy to pick a fight with Christian McCaffrey when he comes to the sideline and get him thrown out of the game. I mean, it's a little ridiculous. There's kind of got to has to be some kind of exemption for that, doesn't there? You can't eject a player because he gets in a fight with somebody who's not a player. Yeah. I mean, not even really a staff. I mean, I guess he's part of the staff, but he's not really. It's not like you're. I don't know.
Like the only thing I think I remember comparable was that idiot Sal Alossi tripping. Tripping what's his face? Our safety in his rookie year.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. But again, no player thrown out.
No.
They actually threw this guy out of the game.
Alossi didn't even get tossed. Yeah, Alossi didn't even get thrown out.
No,
he
didn't.
Remember?
Yeah, because they had to like review the tape and see who it was and the, But Rich, right? I mean, like you can't. How do you throw a player out of the game? A star?
Totally ridiculous.
It doesn't make
totally
any
ridiculous.
Sense.
No, because that guy has no business doing that. You know, so it's insanity. And that's like their best defensive player too. That could have changed a lot that game.
Yeah,
you know?
I know. So. I don't know.
The league better come down hard on this. They really better. You know,
I mean, like getting back to like the Chiefs game, Pacheco got thrown out of the game at the end of that game, and that was a big part of that game. You know, right? Because he got thrown out with 50, but he threw a punch at a player. So you know, I mean, that's a totally different thing.
100%.
It's an absolute different thing. Like you said, Big Dom, come on.
No.
Big Dom is going to dictate the roster in crunch time?
Oh, I know. Big dopey Dom,
It's kind of crazy.
And they were like, we love him. You can't be defending him, idiots. I know he got the best player on the other team thrown out, but don't defend that. You know? It's ridiculous.
Well, for sure. Oh,
you know?
For sure. Yeah, messing with the Eagles. I mean, you know how that fan be. So.
My goodness.
And that's becoming a very nasty rivalry. And you know what happened last year.
It
looks like they're kind of on pace again. You know, they had no quarterback going in there. As a matter of fact, you had your ringer off. You didn't hear the phone when it rang.
Yeah, I don't think I was on that list of that one.
Well, that's unfortunate.
Yeah, who played for the Frisco that game?
Both guys got hurt. Didn't the backup get hurt? And they literally had to get.
Game?
I thought so. Yeah, he got hurt. Remember, he got and they had to get like the third string. They actually had
Jimmy G was
a running back.
He was out for the year, right? Jimmy G was out for the year. So who was the backup to Purdy?
That running back guy. Remember we saw that running back guy, the fullback or whatever, come in.
He
was like the active third string quarterback, emergency quarterback. I can't think of his name right now, but they had to actually, and then Purdy couldn't throw, and he had to come in to make the snap because the other guy got hurt. It was a sideshow. It was a circus, and they changed the rule because of that, right? That's why they changed the rule this year.
Right? Yeah. Yep. Oh, God.
Yeah. So, obviously, that's going to be a little bit different. But, I don't know, man. It's just absolutely ridiculous. But you're right. They have to they're going to have to do something about this, I think. They can't allow this to just go unnoticed with the security guard.
You have to make a big example of it, obviously. You can't let that slide. Like, that guy's got to – he can't be anywhere near a sideline again, you know?
Yeah. Well, he's the head of security, right?
McCaffrey came in after Purdy went down. Or after the – no, who's this guy that – the guy that came in for Josh Johnson was the backup.
Right, but he got hurt.
And he got hurt, and then Christian McCaffrey had to finish the game.
Right, but there's that other guy. Remember we were talking about, I can't think of his name. We know him, but we don't know him as a quarterback.
That was the only three that played in that quarterback.
Right. But the other guy that we know was the actual emergency quarterback, and they decided to let McCaffrey take the snap rather than that guy. I can't think of what his name was.
They were almost doing the Wildcat.
What they were doing. That's what they were doing. They were just running Wildcat. And the guy was like a fullback, and he's on the tip of my tongue. I can't think of his name, but he's on the tip of my tongue. Pete or something like that, with an H. But he never did get to touch the ball, but that's where they were had to go. He never got to touch the ball, but that's where they were going. So this league, I'll tell you.
31-7 in that game, you know?
Yeah. No, and that's my point. Not going to be the same as it was last year. You know, that's going to be a lot of differences as this thing turns around.
Well, they made a statement yesterday, you know, that's for sure.
Yeah,
you know,
they sure did.
Even yesterday, you know?
Big statement.
All right,
everybody, that's our show. And got the Ravens coming in, and we'll see everybody next week right here, Miami Dolphins Legends Show.
Headed out to my big two-wheeler, I was tired of my own boy. Took a beat on the northern plains and just rolled that power on. $12 out of Mackinac City, stopped in a bar to have a brew. Met a girl and we had a few drinks and I told her what I decided to do. She looked out the window a long, long moment and she looked into my eyes. She didn't have to say a thing.